Hawaii, perhaps the closest America gets to paradise. It's a place most people dream of visiting in their lifetime. So this week, our friends from the Open Road, Hal Cannon and Teresa Jordan, take us to the 50th state on a journey that starts out like most trips to Hawaii.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Kona International Airport Service.
We touch down in Kona on the Big Island. Swaying palm trees line the open-air airport, and everywhere we look is deliciously green. It's hard to believe that just a few hours ago, we had to dig our car out of a snowdrift to get to the airport.
Oh, people in shorts, tanned people, green leaves.
Aloha. Welcome to Kona.
Thank you.
They're so beautiful.
A lovely Hawaiian woman places a strand of flowers around my neck and gives me a shy peck. The fusion of floral scents on the heavy air is intoxicating. We gather our luggage and proceed to the rental counter. Of course, I sucker for the manager's special, an upgrade to a convertible. It's only 15 bucks more a day.
See you later. Aloha.
And we're off to the hotel.
Honey, here we are at the Royal Kona Resort.
Is that a wedding?
No, it's a luau. Let's go check in.
Look at that guy's body.
Oh my goodness. Is he a dancer or something?
No. He's really built.
We got a great deal booking the room in advance, only 100 bucks a day. Again, I sucker for the manager's special for a room with a partial sea view. Only 25 bucks more. Sunken gardens, silk Hawaiian shirts, fountains, music in the air. We've arrived. And if we hurry, we can make the luau.
My name is Palani, and tonight we're going to take you on a musical and magical journey throughout the South Pacific. We'll be visiting such exotic places as Tahiti, Samoa, Fiji.
About 400 of us are squeezed down long tables lit by blazing tiki lamps. We face a stage backdrop by the moonlit surf. Suddenly, the lights dim and a dozen muscular warriors enter the scene, brandishing menacing spears.
It's downright primordial. The drums intensify as the Fijian war dance crescendos to a blood-rushing climax. Just then, a young maiden is led through the crowd.
Oh my gosh, she doesn't have a top on. It's pretty sexy till I realize that her hair isn't moving. Somehow it's stuck to her breasts, a combination hairpiece and bra. I'm still trying to take this in when I realize we're right in the middle of one of the great tragic motifs of all Polynesian floor shows, the virgin sacrifice. And the girl with the amazing hair is poor Princess Kalua.
Kalua now dances her last hula for her lover, not knowing that he has already sailed away. The beautiful legend and love story of Kalua.
And then she proudly waves goodbye and the lights dim. The show ends and we make it back to our room without incident. Except for the drunken college students banging around in the halls most of the night, we sleep okay.
We awake to the sound of surf, birds, and a partial view of the ocean. We look at each other and begin to feel like we're having a partial experience.
As much as I wanted to be a beach potato, I'm not here 12 hours before I start studying maps. At checkout, we get in the car and head north on the main route that circles the Big Island.
We're headed for North Kohala, the northernmost part of the island, to see if we can find some old friends who've always told us to drop in if we ever came their way. We wind around tight curves through lush vegetation, catching occasional glimpses of the sea, and then the road simply peters out. Sheer cliffs drop 500 feet in front of us to the Pacific.
We're high above the Pololu Valley, and we're not alone. Rental cars line the overlook. We meet a guy who has just hiked up the trail from the black sandy beach below. He's out of breath and gleaming with sweat.
What brought you here?
Oh, to this place?
Yeah.
It's the end of the road. Always good stuff at the end of the road.
I like that philosophy. If we can't find what we're looking for at the end of the road in paradise, we're not going to find it anywhere.
before we continue with Hal and Teresa on their journey, I wanted to speak with them for a moment because I'm really curious. Teresa, the two of you have been part of our Savvy Traveler crew for a while now, and taking us out onto the open road as you search for authentic culture in the Western United States, which is why I was surprised when I heard you chose Hawaii as a destination. As far as tourism goes, it's a place that's filled with so many cliched images.
Well, it's true, it is, and the tourist machine can be pretty strong in Hawaii, but Rudy, it's one of the most beautiful places on Earth. And the Hawaiian people are very proud of their native culture and their language, and they're fierce in protecting it. And if you're interested in the real thing, believe me, it's right there.
Hal, you had some sort of personal connection that took you to Hawaii. What was that?
Well, I went to reclaim my old Hawaiian name. My great-grandfather was there 150 years ago as a missionary, and he was beloved by many people, and he was given the name Keoki Pukuniahi. And we'd had a long-term invitation to visit some friends, some native friends. In fact, one of the great cultural treasures of Hawaii, a man named Kindi Sproat and his wife Sherry, and they live on the very north part of the Big Island, that is, in a place called the Pololu Valley. And after being with them for a week, I got my own Hawaiian name, Haliboi Pukuniahi.
Ooh, I like that. So what would I call you for short?
Well, you can call me Haliboi.
Haliboi. Does it have a meaning, this name?
Well, Haliboi is sort of a pun. Hali means white man, and it means sort of the son of white man. And then Pukuniahi means cannon, or the lightning, thundering guns from onboard the tall ships.
As in white man Hal Cannon.
Yeah,